Psalm 119, if you would, in the Word of God today. Psalm 119. And as you very well know, while you're finding your places, we've entitled this whole psalm, Learning a Little at a Time. I've been subtitling each section of 8 verses. And to be quite honest with you, I had a time with this one. I studied on it back first part of the week and did some reading on it from one of the commentators that I normally read after in this particular psalm. Read after a few, usually three for sure, and sometimes I'll try to, if I can't seem to get the thought, maybe from them that is just what I feel like the Lord has for my heart, my mind, then I'll read on some of the others and see if they have anything to say about it. You know, not everybody knows everything about each verse of Scripture. And not everybody's going to say everything maybe that you want to hear, or they're not going to elaborate and instruct maybe on a particular thought that maybe God touched your heart with. But sooner or later, you'll find somebody. Amen. If nothing else, again, they're the Spirit of God working in your heart in a particular verse of Scripture. And so we've subtitled each section of these 8 verses, and I've tried to maintain the same pattern, I feel like, in these lessons. There's probably been some variance, without a doubt. But I've tried to maintain the same pattern by concluding all 8 verses in the thought. And I really wrestled with this one. There's so many different avenues and thoughts and messages that just kind of was inspired in my mind as I read through these 8 verses of different ways that you could go through it. So I've tried to, with the Lord's help, tried to maintain it on the same pattern in dealing with all 8 verses together collectively. And I trust that it'll be a blessing and a help to your heart and mind. Again, we dealing with the thought, learning a little at a time. And, of course, Psalm 119, I like to think of it as the Word in the Word. And, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself manifested in the Psalms all throughout. Of course, all throughout the Word of God, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. I mean, you find the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't look and study the Word of God without finding the Lord, because He is the Word. And but I think you understand what I'm saying when I see the Word within the Word here. I believe Psalm 119 is a tribute unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and He can show us so many things throughout all the Word of God, but there's so much to be learned here in this book, in a book. And I trust the Lord to bless you and help you, and has helped you as we've studied through it. I don't remember everything I've studied, and I do know that I've picked up some things, and I know the Lord's helped me in it, and I trust He's helped you in it as well. All right, we'll begin reading in verse number 113 of the book of Psalms, chapter number 119 this morning, and trust the Lord to help us today. It starts out with that Hebrew letter, that heading, Samech. And the Bible said in verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Can I stop there for just a moment and say I couldn't help, as I was studying for this, thinking of the preacher's message about hope this past week. I mean, you can't get away from it. Amen. When, you know, and then when I read this and then talk about the psalmist David, of course, many times in these verses that we've been dealing with, much less throughout the whole psalm, talks about that hope in the Word of God. And I'm glad the Word of God does give hope this morning, brethren. Bible said in verse number 117, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Now may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of that word. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. I trust you'll pray for us, that the Lord will help us, and that He'll give you whatever need is in your heart and life today for His honor and glory. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for the blessings of God. We do thank You for the privilege of being in the house of God. And I pray, Lord, You meet every need that's needed here. Lord, I pray for those that are away from us, that are sick. I pray that You touch and help them, be with them in a special way, and do that work that needs to be done and raise them up for Your honor and Your glory. I pray for those that have been faithful to come to the house of God today, even though they might be tired in body. I pray, Lord, You bless them and help them. Touch each and every one going through troubles and trials. Give them that encouragement that is needed. And we'll thank You for all that You do for us. Blessing the services today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I've entitled this short section of 8 verses here this morning, An Example of Exhortation. An Example of Exhortation. The psalmist, David, here is a great example this morning in the Word of God to us of what it means to be exhorted by the Word of God and some promises that we can look to, and I'll try to deal with some of those here in a moment. But by way of introduction, I say here in these 8 verses that there is much exhortation in these 8 verses for us to love, to look to, and to learn from the Word of God. Much is discussed in these 8 verses that we may receive the help that is needed at different times in our life. And there are 4 things in particular I'm going to try to point out today for us to remember and to hold on to in trying times of our life. You know, when the Lord reveals things to you from the Word of God, I mean, when you're going through troubles and trials in your life and He gives you the Word of God, a scripture, a particular thought, or maybe many verses of scripture, an illustration, with different men, or even for the lady's sake, women in the Word of God, of how they serve the Lord even during testing times of their life. And God gives us those times that we, and those scriptures that we might be able to look to them and learn from them in those times of our life. And that's what I want to try to bring out this morning. 4 things here that I believe the psalmist David has illustrated unto us that we need in our life. And we need to remind ourselves of and keep and retain, regard those things in our life that we might stay faithful unto the Lord. In verse number 113, I see the first thing that the psalmist here deals with is a sound mind. A sound mind. Now, it can be sound, it can be sober, and it can be established. I mean, you can use any of those words or all of those words. But he said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. As I looked up those words, vain thoughts, of course, in Strong's, it keeps the phrase together, one Hebrew word for that phrase, and it talks about being divided, talks about being a skeptic. A skeptic is one who doubts everything and, is not sure about anything. Of course, we know the Bible says in the book of James, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And I've got those scriptures down. I'll not run to them this morning. You're very familiar with them. But he said here, I hate vain thoughts. And I looked up the word vain in the Noel Webster's dictionary. And to put it simply, there's many definitions and many things there that can be read. But to put it simply, it means that it's empty. It's worthless. It's without any value or importance, and things that are vain. And, of course, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you find that Solomon there talks about a lot of vain things and that all is vanity, in this life. If we're to live for God, the only thing that's going to last is what we've done for Christ, and that's the only thing that's going to hold value. That's the only thing that's going to be important when we stand before the Lord is how we've lived our life for Him according to the Scriptures. So the psalmist here is not saying that he's never had any, but he is saying, I hate vain thoughts. So that lets me know that he's had those times in his life of doubt or vanity, things that he looked to, that he's seen the conclusion that it was in vain. And he said, but thy law do I love. I notice here that he stresses 2 affections that we know of in our life. And they're very strong affections, the affection of hate and the affection of love. Those emotions that we have in our life and how we hate things and how we love things. And we need to get a hold of what we need to hate and what we need to love. Amen. And the psalmist plainly tells us here that we ought to hate vain thoughts and we ought to love the law of God. You know, and if we'll continue to love the law of God like we ought to, then we'll have the power that God has proclaimed in His Word, according, I believe it is, to Corinthians or Galatians there. He said, casting down vain imaginations and every thought that exalteth itself against Christ. I mean, we can have that authority. We can have that power with the Lord. He can help us to cast down those vain imaginations. He can help us to hate those vain thoughts. He can help us to exclude them in our life. What are you saying? I'm saying, like all the preachers have said in times gone by, you can't stop the eagles from flying above your head, but you can stop them from building a nest. Amen. And when that vain thought comes into your mind, you ought to automatically, the Spirit of God, allow Him to bring something to your heart about the law of God that it will help you not to think on those vain thoughts. I thought of Matthew chapter number 15, and I believe it's about verse number 19 there. He talks about, he's talking to his disciples there about the unclean and the clean, because the Pharisees and all that bunch was talking about him eating with unwashing hands. And it was talking about the things that going into the mouth is what defiles the man. But Jesus said it's what comes out of the heart that defiles the man. Amen? And the first thing, if you'll read there in Matthew 15, I believe verse number 19, the first thing that proceeds out of the heart is evil thoughts. Amen? And I'm telling you, those vain thoughts, according to the writers, is talking about evil thoughts. And we ought to shun those, brethren. We ought to get rid of those things. Amen. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that we are shun and profane and vain babblings. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could run to this morning with the vain thoughts. But we need to hate them. I mean, you can characterize them in your own mind and heart and life, and you can know what is vain by the help of God in your own life. But I'm telling you that there ought to be a strong hatred, a strong emotion and affection against vain thoughts. And there ought to be a love for the law of God. Amen. And that law for the love of our love for the law of God will help you to hate vain thoughts. You can't hold to the both of them. You're going to hold the one, despise the other, love the one and hate the other. You can't have both. We can't have the pleasures of sin for a season and prosper in the things of God at the same time. We can't do that, brethren. We have to hate the one and love the other. Amen. In order to have that sound mind. The Bible said that those that keep their mind on thee, that stayed on thee, will have peace. Perfect peace. I'm talking about having a sound mind. You want me to tell you where I feel like the battle is in my own life right now more than anything? Is in my mind. Wondering what somebody thinks. Wondering what somebody said. Wondering what somebody's going to do. There's always a battle raging in your mind thinking on things that really you shouldn't even be concerned with. If we really get into the Word of God and we really study and know what God says in His Word, then we can have Scripture to combat those things of the mind. Amen. No doubt that we need a sound mind in our service unto the Lord. We see that example here that David has exhorted us to. I want to say secondly, not only did he exhort us to a sound mind, but he exhorted us to have a secret place. A secret place. Do you have a secret place today? And a prayer life is definitely a needed place of secrecy, no doubt about that. But I believe that can be found here. But I don't believe that's the total interpretation here. He said, look here what he said in verse number 14, thou art my hiding place. Running unto the Lord. Now that is a place of fellowship. That is a place of prayer. That is a time that you're alone and communing with the Lord. But look here what he said. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Now if you'll bear with me, I'm going to run backwards with these three thoughts. I see here that secret place found in verse number 114. But number one is found because of the promise. David would have never found that secret place if it had not been for the promise that he had in the Word of God. He said, but I hope in thy Word. We know that we can have a secret place or a place of dwelling with the Lord Jesus Christ, a hiding place because of what God's Word has said and given us that precious promise. I want to say secondly, we find that secret place of power. Notice here what he said. He said, that shield. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. That shield represents His power. That shield represents the Lord's strength around you. When you look up that word shield, you'll find it means a covering. Amen. It's a place in front of you as well as over you. And the Lord God is our sun and shield. And the Lord God will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly, according to Psalm 84:11. Let me turn and read real quickly Psalm 3:3. In Psalm 3:3, He talks about that shield. And then I want to give you a little thought about that shield. In Psalm chapter number 3, in verse number 3, the Bible said, as soon as I get these pages unstuck, in Psalm 3:3, "But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." You know, when the fiery darts are coming at you from Satan, when the enemies are opposing you and they're doing everything they can to knock you down and destroy you, that shield of faith, if you want to go read in Ephesians 6, you can hold up there to quench all those fiery darts of the wicked. Now the Bible says that the Lord is our shield and that He will deliver us. Amen. And we have that promise given in the Word of God if we allow Him to be our shield. Our problem is we don't usually run to Him. Our problem is we don't find that secret place. Our problem is most of the time we're looking to solve our own problems instead of letting the Lord work in our life and solve those problems for us. And I'm as guilty, if not more guilty, probably than anybody else of that. But we need to learn to run to the Lord, get in that secret place, and let Him be our shield. When He covers us, we won't have no problem. Amen. Let me give you a quick thought on that, and then I'll give you the next point. I thought about that shield. That shield is something you use in open warfare. Is it not? That shield is something you use when you're out and the enemy is opposing you openly. That's the Lord. He's our shield. When the enemies are opposing us openly, that's our shield. But notice that secret place is a place of private protection. That secret place is a place where God protects us from ourselves as well as the enemy. Notice here what He said in verse number 114, "Thou art my hiding place." What is that? That's my protection. You know, our worst enemy is ourselves, really. So many times as a subject I'm dealing on, I don't want to keep going back and harping on it, so to speak, but so many times it's what we have thought of that destroys us. It's what we have thought of that brings us down. It's what we have done, you know, in those lights that causes us to be hindered in the service of the Lord. But we can get to the secret place and find it to be a place of protection. The Bible said in Psalm 32 and verse number 7, Psalm 32 and verse number 7, He said, "There Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. You know, if we stay in that secret place, we'll have a lot less open battles to face. I didn't say you wouldn't have any, but you'll have a lot less. You know, if we stay in that secret place with the Lord, He'll help us and He'll keep us from a lot of battles that we have to face because we're not staying as close to Him as we ought to stay. In Psalm 91, the Bible said, verse number 1 and 2, "He that dwelleth in the secret place." There's a difference in being in that hiding place occasionally and dwelling in that secret place. We ought to abide there. We ought to stay there. I mean, it ought to be a daily process in our life that we find ourselves in the secret place with the Lord. He said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You know, I thought about that, and I thought about how the children of Israel come out of Egypt and how God protected them from the heat of the day by that cloud. And He protected them and guided them and gave them light to see by with that pillar of fire by night. I mean, they were under the shadow, if you please, of the Almighty. And when we stay under the shadow of the Almighty, we can walk and serve the Lord. And even though the enemies are raging, even though the battles are there, we can come out victorious if we're staying in that secret place where He will protect us. You get out there on your own, and I'm not saying He's going to let them destroy you by any means, but you get out there on your own and say, "I'm going to do it all by myself," He might just let them whip you a time or two so you can find out you need Him. Kind of like He did with Joshua there at Ai, you know, when sin was in the camp, and they went up to fight that battle at Ai, and God let them get whooped and had to go back running. Amen. And sometimes that happens when we think we can go without the protection of the Lord. We can't, brethren. We must stay in that secret place that we might have that protection that He has provided for us. I want to say number three, in verse number 115 through 117. The Bible said, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually." I see here that there is an exhortation and an example of it to separation. You know, most people want to separate from, but they never separate to. And, that creates a void in our life. And when that void comes in our life, I believe, and don't take this to an extreme, all right? Let me just make a little application here. But when that void comes in our life, like it did in Luke's gospel, I can't remember the chapter right now, but when the unclean spirit went out of the man, and that unclean spirit came back, found that man's heart, his house, empty, swept, and garnished. Then he went and got seven more devils, more wicked than himself, and came back into that man, and the last state of that man was worse than the first. You know, and I have seen this just down through the years. I have seen people that have separated from, but never separated unto, and it caused them to end up in a worse shape later on down their life because of that void that was in their life. They never draw close to God. They separated from the world for a period of time because of what they heard preached or what somebody said or how somebody else's life was. But it never was a real standard of conviction in their life, and they never did fill that void place, that spot in their life, with the love of God and the Word of God, that they would abstain from that. Amen. And it caused them to get in a worse shape. Anytime you go back, it's going to be worse than what it was when you came out. I believe that's proved in the Word of God. Now, a separation, number one, from evildoers. Evildoers, those that we have companionship with, those we keep company with. You know, let me say this real quickly. Paul said that we can't altogether not have company, is the way I believe he puts it, 1 Corinthians, with fornicators and people of this world. If so, we must needs go out of this world. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say keeping company with. You're going to come in contact with people, sinners, every day. The wicked, every day of your life, especially if you're out in the world on a public job or you're going to different places on a daily basis. You're going to come in contact with the wicked, plain and simple. But you don't have to condone their wickedness. You don't have to take part of their wickedness and take pleasure in their wickedness. You know, the Bible's got some strong things to say about some of those things. But he said, separate from evildoers. Look here what the psalmist said. He said, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." That's what he told them. He told the evildoers, he said, "You depart from me. Get away from me. If you don't want no part of God," that don't mean he wasn't a witness to them, but he said, "If you don't want no part of God, then you don't need to be around me, because that's who I'm going to serve. That's who I'm going to live for. And every time you get around me, that's what I'm going to tell you about it." Plain and simple. You know, if we would tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, now I'm not going to say we're not going to have persecution. The Bible plainly says that we will. And I'll get to that in a moment. But as far as quote unquote our company that we keep or friends that we so-called have in this world that are sinners, ungodly sinners, wicked people. I'm not talking about not trying to be a witness. Show them that you love them, the Lord loves them, and you trying to get them to come to church. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about having a socialized life with them. If you're going to do that, you can't be what God wants you to be. You're not keeping the commandments. The psalmist here said, if I'm going to depart from evildoers, I'm going to have to keep the commandments of God. And if I keep the commandments of God, I'm going to depart from evildoers. Not what it means. Our companionship. Then I see, secondly, I could go to 1 Corinthians 15:33. there. It talks about evil communications corrupt good manners. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, where he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be ye not unequal to yoke. All those things that we could go to. And he said, I'll receive you and I'll be a father unto you and you shall be my sons and daughters. Amen. I want that. I want the Lord fresh in my life. I want the Lord's relationship with me in my life. I want to be able to call upon Him at any given moment for whatever is going on in my life, whether it be for myself, whether it be for my family, whether it be for my friends, whether it be for those that are wicked out there, and calling upon the Lord and asking the Lord to spare them and give them mercy and show them a little mercy and kindness that they might come to know Him as their personal Savior. I want to be that close to the Lord in my life that I have that availability. Amen. I don't want to have to spend 30 minutes or an hour or a day confessing sin in order to be able to get a prayer answered. If I'm regarding iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. I want to say secondly, not only separation from evildoers, but separation to the commandments of God. I find that, of course, at the end of verse number 115 and verses 116 and 17. Notice here what the psalmist said. He said, depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of God. He has a resolve to do the will of God in his life, to be obedient. He said, uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. In verse number 116, what he's saying is, Lord, I can't stand on my own. I need you to support me. I need you to sustain me. I need you to strengthen me. Number one, that I may be revived. That I may be refreshed. That I may show forth an abundant life. Amen. For the glory of God. And not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. You know, when you tell people out, whether it be in the church or out in the world, when you tell people that you're a Christian, that you're saved by the grace of God, and you've got a hope of that glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, and you let them know that you're supposed to be different, and they look to you, and if they're not seeing the difference, you're bringing a shame and a reproach upon the name of Christ. We've got to be careful about that. We need to be different, and we need to not be ashamed of our hope. Amen. The Bible said in Romans 5:5 that love of God that's shed abroad is hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. In verse 117, he said, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Again, strengthen me, sustain me, support me, Lord. We can't stand on our own two feet, brethren. We need the help of God. And that comes by the commandments of God. But we're going to have to make a choice to separate to the Lord. I thought about Joshua there in chapter number 24, verse number 15, when he told all that crowd around him, he said, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. All those other gods, and he named them, or the true and living God. But he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Brethren, have you made that resolution in your life today? Do you know who you're going to separate to? We got to separate from something, but we need to separate to Him. Amen. And live for God according to His Word. Then I want to say lastly, not only is there an example of exhortation here to separate, but to be steadfast. Steadfast. I see steadfastness in the Scriptures here of the psalmist's life in verses 118 through 120. Notice quickly here, and I'll be done. The Bible said in verse 118, thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. We need to be steadfast in the testimonies of the Lord. Now, what I mean by that is this. God has testified to us in His book, right here. Those are His testimonies of what He will do to the wicked, of what He will do to the enemies of God and those that are trying to live for the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to rejoice in the destruction or the death of the wicked. We're to not take pleasure. The Lord said He don't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. So neither should we, but we ought to be able to rejoice or remain steadfast because we know that one day the wicked will be done away with and righteousness will prevail. Amen. That's right. Now, secondly, Not only did he was he steadfast because of the testimonies of the Lord, but he was steadfast because of the judgments of the Lord. You know, when you start talking about judgment, a lot of people get nervous. You know, you begin to think of the worst. There's good judgments as well. But there are bad judgments, and I'm going to show you some of them here this morning quickly. He said, "Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies." Verse 120, "My flesh trembleth." Let me ask you something this morning. Does it bring a fear? And when I say a fear, I don't mean, I believe I can illustrate it with Matthew chapter number 25. I've got that wrote down here. When the Lord is talking about those stewards, those servants, and how he gave them 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. And the man that had 5 talents, because he loved his master, because he knew the power that his master had, he went out and he gained 5 other talents. The 2 likewise, he went out and gained other talents. But that man that had 1, he went and hid it. And when the master came, he said, "Here's your 1 talent. I knew that thou was a hard man." Look that up. I believe it's, can't remember now if it's Luke or Mark, talks about the same, gives the same parable, and he calls him an austere man. But you'll find out that the Lord is not always as kind and loving as we want to make it up to be. He will judge sin. He's not going to let wickedness go by. He expects and demands righteousness. And one of these days, the Bible says he's going to rule this earth with a rod of iron. Now, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. He said, "My flesh trembleth." I don't know about you. Not fear is I'm scared that he's going to cast me off into hell fear, but a fear that I would displease him. A fear that, and I know he knows, but for sake of our human mind, that someone would think that I don't love him. I remember specifically in 1 Corinthians 13 when I taught on charity of how I brought that down there in the end and how you see where everything that we do is not because of the fear of the rebuke and the reproof and the correction, but it's the fear of displeasing the Lord. The Bible said without faith it is impossible to please him. So that means that we can be pleasing unto him. And the Bible plainly says we ought to walk unto all pleasing. Amen. Unto the Lord. "My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments." Does it not strike a fear in your soul to know that we are a child of God and that we serve the God that is able to destroy both body and soul in hellfire? It ought to strike a fear, the sense of reverence, a sense of loyalty. I don't know what all to say there, but it ought to cause us to have a greater desire to be faithful and true unto the Lord than what we've ever had in our life when we really study in His Word and see what He is capable of and what He will do when the end time comes. He's so merciful in our day. He's long-suffering. The Bible plainly says that. But there's going to come a time when that mercy and that long-suffering is coming to an end. And every man is going to give an account. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. God bless you, preacher.